Time to talk podcasts, and joining me in studio, we'll have to get you a theme song, Paul Bushnell. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Okay. And Paul's talking today about long-lasting series which use content originally created for other media.
Yeah.
Because great topic.
It's an interesting one angle because, you know, the podcasting and certainly the goss about podcasting, the reviews, the news, the kind of sense of sensation of whatever's hot, you know, discussion about this, always relates to something which is new, which is created usually specifically as a podcast form. Often, particularly the huge narrative ones. We think of the archetypal example of the Serial, which is the big granddaddy, really, in a way, of this most extraordinarily powerful example, which I think has shaped a lot of the discourse about podcasts, that shaped a lot of the way in which podcasts have actually been created, specifically for the podcast form. But in the case of you know, my think about things which I enjoy listening to, there's a couple of things which I really like which were created not as podcasts at all. One of them is radio, and one of them, in fact, as written journalism.
Mm-hmm. Where do we start then?
Well, let's have a talk about audio long reads, because this is from The Guardian. Guardian is media that a lot of people like to quote because it's one of the few sources of news which is available, unlike, you know, a whole lot of other media, of course, which are behind paywalls.
Yeah.
But the Guardian has, as its one of its big slate of podcasts, big collection of podcasts, something which is incredibly simple. They get someone to read a written story in its entirety, and it's a long read, and so as it's a long read, it's also a long listen. You know, it's often 15, 20, might even be 30 or 40 minutes, depending on how long the original piece was.
I love this idea.
So it's not at all, you know, you'd think of something which is particularly fresh or engaging, but it absolutely works. It works because you're hearing something which is polished, something which is condensed, something which is shaped. And sure, it's not shaped in audio terms because it's something very simple, which is a single voice reading it, to the audience. But it's incredibly powerful because the writing is powerful. Mm. The example of the pieces they choose are not only some current pieces. There's a brilliant piece, for example, about algorithms and how they've been used to distort examination results because of all this terrible COVID last year in the UK, and the effect on that of a particular individual through that particular lens. But there's some great archival stuff as well too. And there was a really fascinating piece which I heard just podcast in the last few weeks about Silicon Valley billionaires prepping for the apocalypse by coming to New Zealand. And of course, the big name in this was Peter Thiel. And it's a really, really great piece of writing. In this case, quite cleverly also introduced, just to make it in case anything's changed. This is 2018, the original story, so it's several years old, by a little bit of a Q&A type discussion with a journalist before we jump into the full reading of that. And it's absolutely compelling. Because
I remember that piece. I interviewed the author Mark O'Connell at the time because we all got a bit of a fright.
Yes. It just seems so interesting. And he was an example of some huge sort of big global forces and global stuff happening, obviously accentuated now by COVID as well too. But where these big international tectonic plates are moving and suddenly the story focuses on New Zealand. So that was that kind of little bit of extra interest. Mm. Of course, they're not always Kiwi focused stories. But the main thing about them is great writing, well narrated, and the absolutely compelling listener.
Presumably not much in terms of production or, does the voice even matter much as long as you can understand?
I think the voice has got to be a voice you want to spend time with. And so sometimes they have occasionally got the actual journalist to read it, and that's sometimes worked well.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're quite pleased that they've got someone else to do it.
Yeah.
And the main thing is that it's actually engaging, compelling, and is able to read and convey good information over that long span of time.
And I mean, when a story like that breaks, there's a rush of everyone to read it so you know what people are talking about. But, you know, does it stand up 3 or 4 years later?
Yeah, well, I think that's where they've been careful about what they've chosen. They've chosen things which have a sort of sense of resonance or some reason for repeating it. And the main thing is, if it's really good writing to start with, it looks fresh and it sounds engaging and it's a good listen.
And a perfect use of media in 2021. I mean, to be honest, I'm probably the other way around. I would like to see transcripts of podcasts because I don't even get the time to listen to them, but I get lots of reading time. But this is for people who who don't want to miss the story, but
that's right, that's right.
For whatever reason, you know, want to listen to, in the car,
exactly,
or,
yeah, or in the bus, or that kind of thing. I mean, I'm not one of those people that, because I don't know, have motion sickness or whatever. Even a bus, I can't even read anything except momentarily at the bus stops, you know, or the red lights. Whereas I look with envy at those people reading Kindles or real books as the bus is bumping and shuddering around Auckland streets. And for me, listening to something spoken, which was originally written, is fantastic.
What's it, one a week? You want to speak?
Yes, I think so. I think it's about right. Yeah, yeah, okay. About one a week. Yeah, it's really engaging, likeable stuff. You won't like everything, of course. You the topic may not be interesting, but when it is, yeah, it's a good listen.
Now, so that's audio long reads from Guardian, and I'm talking to Paul Bushnell about podcasts. He's chosen a couple of podcasts that reuse content that was originally created for other media. And you've got Fresh Air. I listened to an interview with Terry Gross, actually in a podcast. There's a podcast by Jesse Thorne where he interviews interviewers about their approach.
Oh, wow. How fascinating.
It's a really good one. And I enjoyed my chat to her. She had a famous interview with one of the guys from Kiss who was quite rude.
Yes, she had a go at him.
Yeah, but for people who haven't come across Terry Gross, what is Fresh Air?
Well, Fresh Air, it just sounds like the most basic of radio programs. It's an hour-long interview show that plays on weekday mornings. So there's 5 episodes a week, 5 hours a week, and it's a single interviewer. And often the program will be one long-form interview with along with a sort of a little ad break kind of things that public radio does in the US. So we're running for something that might be sort of 40, 45 minutes or so at maximum, usually followed with an interview, it might be a review or something, a small kind of cultural thing that follows on with another voice, someone else often reading script, or sometimes it's an interview stuff or that kind of thing. It's a bit more flexible than that. Sometimes it's a number of different pieces. But the core really is this amazing engagement from this startlingly experienced interviewer, Terry Gross, who's really great quality, with a whole range of people. And it can range from politics, absolute hard current affairs, hard news and so on, to much softer, much lighter subjects, cooking and cuisine and kind of whole kind of cultural stuff. There's lots of music involved. She loves jazz, not something so much interest to me, but she makes it interesting to me because of the way she connects with these people. And she's been doing it since 1985, I think it is, or 84.
That's good, eh?
So she's been doing it, by rough estimate, 9,000 programs have gone out.
So this is what people will be saying about me in 2051.
Absolutely.
He's been doing it since 2015.
Well, the great thing is that if you do it for that amount of time, you've also got the ability to actually go and have a rest while your production team replays the major interview with the person who's died, because it's like every single major person who has died has an interview that Terry has broadcast, and so it is simply either rebroadcast or in condensed form, repackaged and rebroadcast.
What's his skill as an interviewer?
Look, I think there's powerful intelligence. Obviously, there's a sense of empathy. She's great at asking really super simple questions. I think assuming knowledge on behalf of the audience, niggling away and going back where something needs clarification or someone sort of skated over something, and not being afraid to ask to actually share something of herself as well too. And sometimes sometimes the things just derail and go totally off the rails, basically. Remarkably, that's still broadcast, because one of the other aspects about this, why there's a sense of shape with this radio broadcast, is that it is shaped. It's not live. It's recorded as if live, and then it is edited down. So
I was surprised to hear her say that she'll talk, you know, if it's a 20-minute interview, she'll talk for an hour and take the best 20 minutes, I'll never do.
No. And it never sounds like that.
Yeah.
It always sounds because of good editing and also fundamentally good questioning as well too. So you can segments will lock together without a sense of discontinuity.
Is it weekly? It's not daily.
It's a weekday program. So it's five days a week.
Wow.
So it's equivalent of like like your show or a Catherine Bryan show, which is running, but just running for 1 hour. But it does
one hour.
And well, part of the thing that makes it
gentlemanly, Wallace Chapman called it kind of hours.
Exactly. Well, the other thing as well too, part of the thing that makes it work is that there's a team of 14 people working full time on this 1 hour long
that's
show.
That's incredible.
So that's the resources and the kind of that seems impossibly luxurious, you know. New Zealand broadcasters into Radio New Zealand, especially, and the teams here that
14 producers for a 14
people
show.
Working on one show. That's right. That's right. With someone who's been working on it, and has done 9,000 programs. So it's you're dealing there obviously with someone who's got such experience. And of course, the great thing is that as that experience grows and she gets better and better as well too. Mm. Her early ones do sound a bit ropey with this funny high pitched squeaky voice. Her pitch has dropped over the years, and she's become more authoritative. She's become sort of warmer, become more personal as well too. That of course, this huge body of work, people are attracted by that, and so she gets the most amazing names as well too. Totally satisfying.
And so the podcast is what a collection of her.
No, the podcast is essentially the Daily Show.
So right, so Americans would listen to this on the radio.
That's right.
But the rest of us just pick it up
whenever
we like.
That's right. Absolutely.
And it works.
It works. Yep. And there's also a 1 hour a week on a Saturday, a sort of condensation thing, which I don't listen to so much because I've actually listened to the full programs during the week. Sometimes very American, you just can't engage kind of thing. It's fine. There's another one coming tomorrow.
There's been a couple of references in pop culture to NPR.
Yes, 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 in various ways, actually. And there's some very funny stuff with a Saturday Night Live stuff. This is partly to do with not so much Terry Gross, because she is very animated, but actually it's to do with this little recorded sequence which follows of an interview, of a review, for example. And it's something about now I won't inflict you an American accent, my version of American accent on it. I'll try and do a sort of Kiwi version of this. Yeah. It's to do with the voice. And it's the voice of people who are speaking from a script, speaking rather slowly and rather particularly, so that you understand every single word.
And I'll have to start doing that. It's kind of hypnotic, isn't it?
Well, it's great, because it does mean you don't have to write so much, because it means you can stretch it out, actually to fit the available time.
Thank you, Paul Bushnell. A couple worth looking up there. Fresh Air. The NPR podcast, Terry Gross, and audio long reads from The Guardian. Thank you, sir. Nice to have you in.
Thank you.